Hebrews chapter 13 and 5. If you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, not timidly, not fear, not being shy, but that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I want to talk to you on this thought this evening. You are not alone. You are not alone. Would you lift your voices to the Lord and let us pray? Father, we thank you this evening for your love. We thank you this night, God, for your presence, God. We thank you for the liberty and the power of the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the worshipers, God. We thank you, Lord, for the online congregation, God. All those, God, that are watching, God, across the nation, God, and mostly, God, here in the Central Coast, God. We thank you today for all that, God. But we pray that we would be hearers and doers the same, God. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, God, for all that you have done and all that you'll do, Lord. Jesus' name, God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The author of Hebrews is not named in the biblical text. It's assumed that there was the Apostle Paul or others, but whomever it was has been well known to the readers, and did refer to Timothy as a brother, specifically in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23. While the exact date of the writing of the book of Hebrews is to be assumed, we understand that the Jewish Christians were under some persecution, specifically under social and physical persecution. We understand that the writer of the book of Hebrews is providing encouragement to the saints. The saints needed encouragement. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement every week. Sometimes it seems like every other day I gotta get some encouragement, because if you tend to look around, it can become very discouraging in the day and hour that we're living in. And then you read in Hebrews, specifically Hebrews chapter 11, we understand it's the hall of faith, or the roll call of faith, where the believers that we look to in the Old Testament are referred to in the New Testament of the things that they did. And these men and women, they were not alone. They walked through some things and they experienced some things, but they were never alone. And we are not alone today, although we're walking through all kinds of uncertainty, and it's very fluid, and it's day to day, and sometimes we may get a little breather, and it lasts for 2 or 3 weeks, and it almost feels like you're on COVID parole or COVID probation. But I'm thankful today that no matter what we're going through, and no matter what we're facing, that we are never alone. The Scripture is very emphatic, and it tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. But it tells us in Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Your conversation, that is your the whole tenor of your conduct. It's the manner of your life, or rather, the disposition of your heart. It's giving reference to your secular and your spiritual transactions. What do those look like? And we know the Scripture is very clear in Luke 6 and 45. It tells us a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, bringing forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringing forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Now, when we look at that abundance, that means out of the surplus, out of the excess. So if there's excess or surplus, that means that's the makeup of who you are. That is your character. The character of our faith in God ought to be godly and righteous and holy, regardless of what we're facing. Because we're not alone. We're filled with His Spirit. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And Scripture tells us, and which temple are you? We have been filled with His Spirit. We have been washed in His name in baptism. Acts 2:38 declares it. Peter preached it. The apostles were filled with the Spirit. So our spiritual character ought to be that, regardless of who we're around, regardless of what we're facing, because the Spirit of the living God resides in us. So we are never alone. Notice this. We should not need anything, material items or stuff or degrees or positions, to satisfy or validate who we are. We know folks, or we know somebody that knows somebody that they need position to validate who they are. They need a title. They need, even if they're the janitor, they want to be called the chief custodian. You know, just that they're just a little bit higher on the ladder than the next. But we ought not to need that. This world is not our home. If you are going to rely on stuff to affirm who you are, then you're going to be in for a big surprise when that stuff ends up outdated, devalued, torn, taken from, repossessed from you. If you rely on stuff, materialism, job titles, education, degrees to affirm you, Then when those things go out of style or are not gratifying or doesn't fit anymore, thank the Lord my suits still fit, but or it gets too expensive and you can't afford it, or someone better comes along with more experience and better looking and more charismatic and they're not as grumpy as you are. Stuff like materialism and things cannot sustain you long term. They never have, and they never will. That's why the Scripture tells us in Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. The Scripture tells us, thou shalt not covet. Let us not resent what we don't have. Desire nothing besides whatever the Lord has entrusted into our care. Covetousness is an over-eager desire for the wants of this world. Notice this. This is a sin, and it's not always something that is visible. It can be a hidden sin. But if we begin to dig deeper and we begin to look at the heart of man and begin to, I'll just leave you with this. If you want to know maybe the value of what something means to somebody, look at their credit card statement or their checking account. You'll find out real quick what's important to people. I'm loving this liberty. My goodness, praise God. We'll find out real quick. But we're not alone. The Spirit of the living God is with us. We should be in a passionate pursuit of the Lord. Think about this. We have a tendency to look to others and see what they have accumulated over time. And it can have a tendency to lead us down a path of maybe being lonely, because you kind of back up and say, well, yeah, I'm just going to cut them off. I'm going to just kind of restrain myself. I'm the original quarantine. I've been putting people on quarantine before it was popular. Putting the accumulation of what people have accumulated over their lifetime, over an extended period of time, and we begin to look at that and say, "Well, I would like to have what they have." And sometimes it minimizes your self-worth in the eyes of some, and maybe it strikes up competitiveness in you, or you become angry or jealous, or critical in mindset and attitude, and you end up with a spirit of offense or bitterness. And then you begin to dwell, notice this, and act based off of the emotions that are real. And just because, listen to Pastor tonight, just because they had a season like you had, but they chose to react in a different way in the season that God has put us all in. You see, we are in a season of transition. Everybody, under the sound of my voice, is in a season of transition. We can't go back, and Lord help us to not go back. But yet we're not in the post-COVID yet. We are in this holding pattern of transition, and it's very fluid. And some people have a job today, but Lord help us that we don't end up with some of the numbers that folks are strategizing about. But God is with you regardless of you get a pink slip on your job, regardless of if things get repossessed, regardless of what the medical report says, regardless of what politics say. You do not live in that realm. You live in the realm of the kingdom. I'm all about the kingdom of heaven. I'm all about the kingdom of heaven. Let it be in, on earth as it is in heaven. You are not alone. You may be walking alone. You may be living alone, but you are never alone because the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, resides in you, and you can talk and you can live and walk with authority. But I have seen that during this season of transition, I have seen folks that have quarantined in place, and they have used that as an excuse to socially and spiritually isolate themselves from God and the church. There have been folks that during this season of transition have used it to better themselves. They have taken classes and they have gotten lessons, and they made a full-time job out of self-help and providing a better spiritual, emotional, mental mindset for themselves. They've gone back to school and they've gone to online classes. They've used this time to get closer to God. Imagine that. They've used this time to pray through and to step up and step in to the family of God. They were alone, but they used this time of transition to draw closer to Him. This has been a very challenging time for all of us. We are a self-gratifying, consuming, narcissistic, and what's in it for me driven culture. Let's just be honest. Let's just call it like it is. This produces people and mindsets and relationships and emotions that lean on, they have it, so I need one bigger and better. They got one, so I must have one. They posted, so I have to recreate something that's not real and post it so it looks better. They got promoted, so I have to self-promote. They're getting used, so I need to bully my way back or make fun of them and be a distraction. Listen, Psalm 75 and 6 says, For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But notice this, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and sets up another. I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me another moment to build this foundation. Our self-worth, our value, our importance, our appreciation, our affirmation does not come from people or education or attaboys or great job or certificates and plaques, because all of this will be outdated someday. If they haven't, they will forget about you eventually. Just think that if you've ever heard Pastor Pinero preach a funeral, I make a statement that there's two dates on a funeral, on a tombstone. There's the date you were born, and then there's the date that you die. But the only thing that separates that is a dash. So life is just really a quick dash. But if your self-worth and value and appreciation and affirmation comes from stuff, those things all have a shelf life. But rather, Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Come on, somebody. You can never go wrong seeking God. If you seek God, everything else will fall into place and you will not have to worry or wonder or chase anything. It will be dropped in your lap. But also the Scripture tells us, Hebrews 13 and 5, "And be content with such things." It means to be thankful and appreciative of what you do have. Being content, that means to be satisfied. 1 Timothy, notice this if you're taking notes. In fact, if you see this, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 6, check this out. But godliness with contentment, it's a great gain. When you can be content with what God has given you, and then you can be a good steward of what God has given you. And you begin to realize that I'm not alone. God's with me. But notice this. "For we brought nothing into this world." I like this part. "And it is certain we can carry nothing out." Brother Bonham preached a message on Sunday about an appointment with destiny. In probably 2 weeks or so, a week, it'll be on the archive sermons. You need to listen to that. But listen to this. We have to quit looking for the next best thing. There is nothing bigger and better and greater than living for the Lord. Nothing. But Pastor, I've got goals. I'm driven. I have ambition. Be driven. Have ambition. But keep the main thing the main thing. You've got two worlds that are fighting for you. You've got the spirit world of the Lord, and you've got the carnal world and of the devices of this world. And there's a struggle every single day. And whatever we heed to and whatever we feed is going to grow stronger and stronger. And we got to remember that we've got the Holy Ghost, and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are never, ever alone. I encourage you. Have goals. Be driven. Have ambition. But never, listen to Pastor, if you're taking notes, never at the expense of your family, your ministry, your character, or jeopardizing your salvation. No amount of overtime is worth losing your family. No amount of schooling or education is ever worth abandoning your ministry. Notice this. No position, no promotion, no relationship is worth jeopardizing your spiritual integrity. Pursue God. You can never go wrong pursuing the Lord. Notice this. Romans 14 and 17 tells us, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." And all the Pentecostals say, "Amen." We like fellowship. "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." In fact, it was in Nehemiah chapter 8 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, you may be physically alone, but you are never alone spiritually. We have a church family that you are a part of. You read in the Scripture in Ephesians 4 and 25. Notice this. "For we are members one of another." You may have become lonely because you may have limited your relationship with the Lord, if you've allowed something that we've encountered for the last 6 months and counting to strain and put a strain on you. But you can't lean on that anymore, and you can't lean on that and expect to get saved, stay saved, and get into those pearly gates. But at some point in time, you have to understand and realize, I need the church, and the church needs me. And I need a pastor, and the pastor needs me. But get this, we need God more than He needs us. And we got to understand and say, you know what? He said He will never leave me, nor will He forsake me. I need to take God at His word. I need to grab a hold of that word. And I need to live and pursue the righteous things of God and not become distracted by all the cares and all the deceitfulness of sin and all the ambitions of the world and the carrot that they're dangling at me. But I understand that, you know what? Every decision I make, I don't make that alone because God's with me. Every job interview I go to, I don't go to that interview alone because the Lord is with me. Every business decision that I make, I don't make that decision alone because the Lord is with me. Every time I lay my head down to sleep, I don't go to sleep in that home by myself because the Lord is with me. I can't see everything that's taking place. I don't understand everything that's taking place, but I know that God is with me. God is for me, and I am never alone. Somebody give God a praise. You may feel alone because the evil and wickedness of this world may have separated you from others in the church. But notice what the writer of 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 tells us. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be separate. We were meant to be separate. He's coming back for a holy church and a holy people. Peculiar, absolutely. But we knew what one another was peculiar, right? We always said, I knew something was wrong with them. But He's coming back for a church without a spot or blemish. He's not coming back for a lukewarm church. He's not coming back for a church with all the bells and whistles, but no spirit and no moving of God. He's not coming back for a church that has lost their first love, but He's coming back for a church, for a people that are living for Him. Whether they're coming to church every week, whether they're watching devotions every week, He's coming back for a people that have a real, true relationship with God. You are never alone because God is with you. The strength of the Lord is with you. That's what He says. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just think about these exact words were told to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and 5. Scripture tells us, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't fail thee. I won't forsake you. These were the same words that were given to Solomon by his father David. David said to Solomon, his son, in 1 Chronicles 28 and 20, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, I like this part, it says, even my God will be with thee. It's powerful. We need to start living like He is your God. Not just your grandfather's God, grandma's God, your husband's God, pastor's God, but He's your God. He'll be with thee. He won't fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what never means? Never. Never means all the time and forever. You and I are never going to be forsaken by the Lord. Even if and when we have let Him down, He remains faithful, the Scripture says. Even when we may have stumbled and acted out in rebellion, He still loves us. Even when we turn our back on some people, people may isolate us. They forget about us. They may separate themselves or remove themselves from us. Which that is biblical in some ways. We should not be pursuing certain things. But the Scripture says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know that nothing separates us from the love of God? You ever make a statement. But they don't love me like they used to, right? Ever hear of the Bickersons? It's an old-time radio show. I think the husband's name was John, and the wife was always wanted something. Say, do you love me? Say, yeah. How much? What do you need? You know. Sometimes that's how we associate our relationship with the Lord, based off a need. He loveth a cheerful giver. It's not associated only with finances, but us of giving of our time and ourselves. Nothing separates us from the love of God. I'm coming to a close here in a moment. If Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? That even in itself, just per tribulation or distress, is enough for us to be separated from some people. COVID has separated people from the church and their relationship with God, but that has been their choice. COVID has drawn people back to the church, and they have reestablished their relationship with God and their church, and that has been their choice. And they've made a great choice. But I believe that these folks realized that Paul was writing, he's telling the Romans in Rome, he's telling the Christians there that are brought. He tells them in Romans 8:38, notice this. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. When we fail, He loves us. When we are not kind, He loves us. When we forget to pray and talk to Him, He loves us. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us, the Lord hath appeared appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Just think about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They were beaten, bruised. They were incarcerated. This is what we would understand as the revival at midnight or the conversion of the Philippian jailer. But they were experiencing real physical persecution for the gospel. Let's just clarify that. But they weren't alone. They had one another. In fact, the scripture says, whether there be two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But you know what these two apostolic brothers did in Acts 16:25? At midnight. It wasn't the Minutemen launch, but at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't alone. They had one another. And what they were going through affected those that they were around, because they chose to pray and to praise and not whine and complain. Oh, poor me. Woe is me. This is what we get for being Christians. No. They realized, hey, I can lean on my brother. I can lean on you. You pray, and I'll sing, and then you'll sing, and I'll pray. Could I tell you something, saints? If you could take into totality of the circumstances that we're facing or going through, it's not as bad as it looks, saints of God. There ain't nobody under the sound of my voice that I am aware of, that I pastor, that has been physically persecuted and whipped and thrown in jail and left for dead because of the gospel. You've got things still to look forward to. God is not done with you, and God is not done with the church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail and shall not prevail against the church, and you're not alone. The Lord is with you, and you got a church family that is with you, and you need to learn to lean on them. Lean on your brothers and sisters, and if you say, well, I got trust issues, then guess what? Start building those trust issues with the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Amen. Somebody say amen. Ephesians 5 and 19 tells us, speaking to yourselves. All those that get blamed for talking to yourself, here's Bible for you. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How about this? Giving thanks always for a few things and for the Father in the... for all things. Giving thanks for all things. Thank the Lord for your haters, because they motivate you to keep on keeping on. Notice this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of God. You know, you can pray and talk to the Lord about everything at any time. When the family kicks you to the curb, the stress of virtual school is overwhelming. Somebody better say amen. The anxiety of the unknown creeps in. You end up with more bills than you have money. You're not alone. Because Hebrew 13 and 6 says that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I have found that the further someone gets from God or God's people, or the church, or the Word of God, they're more apt to be isolated, to have the pity party or woe is me, have a critical spirit. Carnality begins to sink in. They're more apt to compromise or become offended. And you're feeling alone because you've disconnected yourself from the body. All of our fingers and toes and eyes and ears and nose, they have a function and they have a particular place in the body. But when you've disconnected yourself from the body, you naturally are going to feel out of place, as if something doesn't fit right. It's because you need to reconnect or reattach yourself to the body. And that is one of the most common tricks, schemes, devices, and I'll use the word lie of the enemy, is to get you to feel that you're not, well, I just don't fit in. It's just things aren't like the way they used to be. Let me just tell you, right? Nothing is like the way it used to be. I don't know if you've realized that or not, but there's nothing the way it used to be. What's normal? I digress, but that's the one of the tricks of the enemy as the musicians come, is to get you to feel isolated. You are not meant to live alone spiritually. You were not meant to walk down this path towards heaven by yourself. You need a church. You need a pastor. You need the Word of God. You need your brothers and sisters. You need to stay connected to the body. Online, every time there's church, is connected to the body. But there's something about being in the presence of the Lord. You can be in the presence of the Lord and not be in a church service and be as connected to God as ever before. So don't fool yourself and say, well, I haven't been to church, or I can't, or I won't. Church has never saved anybody. Jesus Christ has saved everybody, and it's going to be because of Him. The church has never died on the cross for anybody. Religion, let me get a little bit deeper. Religion has never saved anybody, but it's been the blood of Jesus. It's been the washing of the sins of people in baptism that has saved people. And we got to understand that we are not alone. We were not meant to walk towards heaven alone. So don't quit praying. Don't quit giving. Don't quit caring. Don't quit working for the Lord. We need God. He will always find somebody that is available. He used a donkey to get the message out because the donkey was available. He used ravens to feed the man of God. He's got a way to get things done. But he tells us, I won't leave you nor forsake you. As we stand this evening. Pastor, my circumstance is unique. Everybody's circumstance is unique. Just ask them. Pastor, but you just don't understand. I know I don't understand. I don't want to pretend that I even care to understand. Because you're not alone. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Notice this. Psalm 118 and 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Quit thinking and living in the realm that woe is me and I'm by myself and what's going to happen. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God resides in you. The Lord is your help. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Right where you are, wherever you are, would you just lift your hands and just talk to the Lord? Come on, He's as close as the mention of His name. You're not alone. I assure you, you are not alone. God's with you.